You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for June 5th, 2015. This week, I'm going to talk about the IMPROVE-IT trial, percutaneous mitral valve annuloplasty, cerebral protection during TAVR, digoxin, and a fascinating study on protecting the kidneys after heart surgery. First up is the IMPROVE-IT trial. This was published this week in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was first presented in November of 2014 at the American Heart Association meeting. Recall that IMPROVE-IT was a large, multi-center, randomized trial that looked at adding ezetimibe to simvastatin in post-ACS patients. This was a positive trial. The absolute benefit in a composite endpoint was reduced by 2% over 7 years. Cardiovascular death was reduced by 1.8 percentage points. Overall death, however, was not different between the two groups. And this is obviously an important study. It lends credence to the lower LDL is better thinking. That's really relevant given the PCSK9 inhibitors, which are on the horizon very soon. Of course, the caveats about IMPROVE-IT were that this is a very select patient population. These were post-ACS patients. Also, there's the issue of value. Value being benefit over cost. So what's the value of this smaller reduction over 7 years? Next up is percutaneous mitral valve annuloplasty. So here's the problem. Your patient has heart failure, functional mitral regurgitation, and is high risk for surgery. So what should you do? Well, a small study presented at the European Heart Failure Congress suggests that a novel percutaneous mitral valve procedure might be an effective alternative to open surgery. And Professor Karl-Heinz Cook from Hamburg, Germany, presented findings of a 40-patient study in which a percutaneously delivered device called the CardioBand provided pretty good results. Mitral regurgitation decreased, functional status improved, and there were no device-related deaths. Both Dr. Cook and the study discussant, Dr. Ken Dickstein from Norway, were enthusiastic about these results. And I mention this because I think percutaneous treatment of valvular heart disease is really or could be the next frontier in cardiology. It's early, yes, for sure, but this could be the leading edge of something really big. Also, Dr. Cook was known for his pioneering work with Fifon Ouyang in Hamburg in electrophysiology, and now he is on to another frontier. Next up is cerebral protection during TAVR. So here's what you have: a big sheath, a stiff catheter, and a squished aortic valve. When I think of TAVR, I think about and worry about debris going north. It's miraculous that more patients don't have stroke events. So protecting the brain is obviously critical during this procedure. A study presented at the European PCR meeting provided encouraging results from the use of a porous protection device placed in the aortic arch during TAVR. The DFLEC3 trial looked at whether the device called a TriGuard device would improve safety. It's an important question, safety is, because it's an extra a vascular access and it's an extra sheath in the aorta. In an 85-patient study, the composite endpoint was numerically lower with the TriGuard device, but it did not reach statistical significance. However, in an on-treatment analysis, patients who had the TriGuard device had greater freedom from neurologic events, fewer ischemic brain lesions on MRI, and better performance on cognition testing. This is a notable preliminary study because as we improve our skills with percutaneous valve techniques, patients can be expected to live longer. And that's a fact that makes cognition ever more important. I mean, cognition has always been important, but if patients are going to live longer, it's very important. Next up is digoxin. The latest salvo in the digoxin story suggests no mortality benefits, or no mortality effects in AF patients when you take into account differences in patient characteristics. So a group of investigators from Tours, France, looked at more than 8,800 patients who presented to their clinic between 2000 and 2010. They presented this data at the Euro Heart Failure meeting, and roughly they had 6,700 patients on digoxin and 21 patients who were not taking digoxin. And when they controlled for the presence or absence of heart failure and looked carefully at patient characteristics, they found no difference in mortality. So this study goes against a recent meta-analysis that showed harm, potential harm from digoxin. And it's also discordant with the findings of Mitutyriakov's study that was done in veterans and published in JACC last year. And I'll link both of those on the heart.org on Medscape. The reason why I mention this is I don't really get the controversy with digoxin. I mean, dig for me is easy to understand. The drug has a narrow therapeutic window. You have to be careful. You don't use it as a first-line or even maybe second-line drug for rate control. You don't use it as a mortality-reducing agent in patients who are in sinus rhythm and have heart failure. But as an adjunct for some patients who have AFib with a rapid rate, who are already on beta blockers, if you're careful and you check levels, I really think DIG can be useful. What's more, IV digoxin is one of my secret tricks in the hospital. In hospitalized patients with AFib at a rapid rate, I like to use IV DIG. I just have to convince the nurses to give it 6 or 8 hours, and very often, the next morning, the patient's heart rate during atrial fibrillation is improved. The final story is about remote preconditioning. Check this out. This is a cool story. Can the kidneys be fooled into protecting themselves? Your patient is going for heart surgery. They have a high risk for kidney injury. You wonder whether creating ischemia in a limb could cause the release of pro-inflammatory mediators that could induce cell cycle arrest in renal tubular epithelial cells. And so if the kidney cells are arrested, they are less apt to be damaged during surgery. This is an easy study. You randomize patients to blood pressure cuff inflation of an arm for 5 minutes for 3 times, or you don't do it, control versus treatment. Then you look at the results. This is exactly what a group of researchers in Germany did. And they found 72 hours after heart surgery, fewer patients in the preconditioning arm had evidence of acute kidney injury. I mean, that's it. Pretty amazing results. They published their findings in JAMA. I tweeted this study, but some really smart doctors on Twitter were skeptical. And to be fair, the confidence intervals are wide. But there were no adverse events, and we're talking about blood pressure cuff inflation for 5 minutes during anesthesia. I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer. It requires further study. It's fascinating biology, and I really, really like this story. So that's it for this week in cardiology. Until next week, this is John Mandrola from the heart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from the heart.org on Medscape.